So really quickly, I was thinking, Kim, as I called you out when you came in today, I know, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Anyway, in my head, I was just thinking back there, that's so close, that, you know, we see each other and we can bond and we can get together, but it's fun because we don't even see you, like, but it's, you get here and everyone's, you know, you're fun and you're welcome, and I would hope that you feel like you're welcomed, and, you know, I love that we have that. Anyway, I was just thinking about that back there. But so now, our next speaker, Ashley Mastronardi. Ashley was born in San Jose, California. She decided she wanted to live in the Northwest and moved her parents back here in 1992. Who wrote this? And why did you say that? Into written by her mother, shocker. She started going to New Hope in February of 1993, where she basically ran the nursery, twos and threes class, and kids' church. When her little sister Stephanie was born, she talked for her for 2 years. Oh, really? That's so cute. She still does. I'm just kidding. At New Hope, she was crowned in Missionettes and has gone on to work in Kids Church, Teen Kids, C29, Reflections of Calvary, and Women's Retreat, and has been on the praise team for 10 years. Ashley is a medical assistant and an orthopedic hand surgeon at Northwest Orthopedic Specialist. She graduated from Eastern in 2014 with a Bachelor's of Science in Speech and Hearing Sciences. In June of 2013, she married Andrew Mastronardi, and her last name went from 5 letters to 11. I get it. She loves to play volleyball, golf, and making fun of her mother. She's full of energy, loves to laugh, and makes the world a brighter place whenever she is present. She has a passion for life, friends, family, and most importantly, for God. Please welcome a very dear friend, Ashley, as she shares with us, So What Now?
I have to give at least I don't have to hold it. A little shout out to Sharon. She wanted me to wear this shirt today. It says, I can't adult today. And I was feeling like that preparing. I was feeling like that preparing for this message because I'm like, okay, I'm still young, right? Like, I'm still a kid. I don't have to be an adult, like, to speak, right? But then everyone speaking, they always look really nice. They shower. So I'm like, I'm going to look the part. I'm going to buy a shirt. I showered today. So I'm feeling good. I'm ready. Thank you, Sharon. I was just thinking about retreat and how this year has been really interesting because it's great when we're together and we're doing the corporate worship and everyone's together. But this year for me, the big moments that we've had, first of all, we're yesterday at the High Ropes course when we're singing praises to God as we're trying to give our friends some strength to come down a zip line. Like, I have never once stood in the woods and sang, we are no longer slaves to fear. But that was such, like, it was just so cool. And it sounds super corny, and I knew it was going to come across as this, but when you were there, you just, like, it was so cool to get to do that in a really typical way. And then last night, I'm like, guys, I have to go to bed. I need to be up early in the morning. I need to be prepared. And God totally had other plans. And I learned a lot about some sisters that I've been friends with for years. And we talked until 3 a.m. And it's like, well, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, and a little bit of extra coffee this morning. So my message is titled, What Now? We're at retreat. It's been great. Also, I wanted to come up here and say ditto because Donzie had the first third of my message, Kim had the last third, Keena filled in the middle, and then Angela was like the sprinkles on top. And so I really just wanted to come up and be like, ditto, let's have a great retreat. But Susan told me I couldn't do that, so. So now what? We've heard from awesome speakers. Donzie was talking to us last night about becoming aware of our thoughts. Kim told us what a great redemption story we can all have, and Keena was encouraging us to let our light shine. And so now that we're here and we're coming to a close, what do we do with this? I think everyone in the past has all questioned worth. What is it? Worth is an equivalent in value to the sum or item specified. So this is worth this much. The value equivalent to that of something or someone under special consideration. And then value is the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, the worth or usefulness of something. So I was thinking, okay, well, what's my worth? And the first thing I thought of was what the world thinks I'm worth. So here's Ashley. For those of you that don't know me, you're about to get to know me real well. 25, been married for 4 years. Fun facts, I'm kind of on the taller side, a little skinny, brown hair. My feet stink really bad all the time. Little flat-chested. I have a bachelor's degree that I really don't use. I'm kind of annoying sometimes. I'm extremely loud, and I have coworkers here that can attest, and two doctors who are probably going to be deaf by in the next 3 years. Not super good at conversations, gets nervous, and then has a lot of word vomit come afterwards. Very low maintenance. This was a task in itself this morning. I don't like to get up and do those kinds of things. And then I'm beautiful. I had to throw that in because I was like trying to find all these things, and Andrew's like, people are going to think I'm a terrible person if you don't say something nice about yourself. So props to Andrew. He's like, you're beautiful. I'm like, okay, thank you, fine. I'll put it in there so everyone doesn't think you're terrible. But all these things that I use to describe myself have been told to me. I've been told by family. I've been told by coworkers. I've been told by Sisters in Christ. I've been told by random people at my surgery center. And I believed a lot of them. I believed that I didn't have any worth because I don't have a C cup or even a B cup. I didn't think I had worth because I don't have that curvy shape that those girls in Hollywood have. I don't have the long, gorgeous, luscious hair. I don't have that body type, or I don't have this, or I have this education that I'm not using. I'm not a nurse. I'm just a medical assistant. I believed that for a long time, and it altered who I thought I was. It altered how I dressed. It altered how I interacted with other people. It altered my voice level. Like, all of these different things, but that's not what God wants. God made me that super loud, annoying, outgoing person who's in your face all the time. That's just, and it's taken years and years and years for me to finally be like, this is me, and you can take it or you can leave it. But it didn't always look like that. I chose to believe that all those things that people said about me was who I was. And I have a quote. I use Got Questions a lot. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. It's a website where you can literally Google anything. And it's a group of scholars, and they biblically back up all of their answers. And so I was like, what does the Bible say about worth? That was my question. And so they put this compilation of all these verses and all these things. And one of the people who wrote in the article says, our self-worth is far too often based on what others say about us. And so I was like, okay, well, that's what the world says about me. Well, maybe I'll just look and see what God says about me. I'm sure it's not any different than what everyone else says. But I have a lot of verses, and I have pamphlets for you guys to take home. But I was just thinking, like, the world pounds all these things into us, so I felt the need to give you as many verses as you could so that you have those in your repertoire for later. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us to put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. John 10:10, Donza used this verse as well. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. Then I have Ephesians 1:13-14. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Ephesians 2:4, but God is so rich in mercy. He loves us so much. So now that's just a few. I mean, when I was doing my studying, there are so many verses that say God created us this way and what we're intended to do and our purpose in life. And so now what? we have this information. We know that God says we're worthy. This, okay, great. Now what? We can look at this two different ways. And I've lived a little bit of both, but I'm going to be real honest with you guys today. The first one was me for a very long time. I had the narcissistic approach of worth. I was a princess. I know my worth in Christ because he created me. I feel so good about myself, and I just know that I am so worthy, and I am so great. I think this sometimes still, but it used to be really bad. So I remember a time I was walking in campus out at Cheney forever ago, and I was a little prideful standing on the little Ashley soapbox. It's pretty fun up there sometimes until there was a girl walking the opposite way, and I remember so vividly where I was walking, what I was doing, all of this, and a girl was walking the other way from me, and she just looked so tired and run down. First of all, I was a freshman. I had no idea what college was going to be like. I probably looked like her 2 years later, but she looked so run down and so tired and kind of homely and all this stuff, and I was like, we're going outside like that? That's how we're going to present ourselves? And so my dad calls them spiritual 2x4s. I think this was like a 6x6. It was way bigger. And God just spoke to me and he says, I love her just as much as I love you. I don't know if this girl was a believer. I don't know anything about it. But he goes, I love her just as much as I love you. And then I started crying on my way to class because I'm like, that was so humbling. So then I'm like, okay, well, I can't take this narcissistic approach. But all those verses say all these wonderful things about me. But Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Romans 14:7-8, so we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And then Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Not just to Ashley, not just to Kim, not just to Belinda, to each one of you. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So those verses were really humbling to me. It's because I don't deserve this. Like, I really don't. There are not things that we have done for ourselves. This is a wonderful gift that has been given to us. And for, like, so say you're going to a birthday party, and someone gives you gifts, and you just open them, and you're like, okay, no thank you, no appreciation, no nothing. That's what this is. We have to appreciate that this is a gift, not a right. It is a gift. There was another quote from the Got Questions says, therefore, we can conclude that our worth is not really of self at all. Rather, it is worth given to us by God. We are of insurmountable value to him because of the price he paid to make us worthy, the death of the Son on his cross. And then I have two Larry Marsh quotes because last Sunday when we were at church, I was like, Larry's speaking my message too. So I got all these people covering all my bases. This is going to be perfect. Larry said, God asked for all that we have, but all that we have is because it's what he gave. So that's the first, that's kind of, I don't want to say the narcissistic side, but it kind of is. It's kind of like, look how great I am. This is what I get. This, I deserve this. No, not at all. It's just a wonderful grace and a wonderful gift. And I think some people are struggle with that a little bit, but I think this other side that we're going to talk about right now is the majority of women. People think, oh gosh, you have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea what's been done to me. You have no idea what's been said about me. You have no idea what I've said about people or what I've done. No, I don't deserve that gift. You may deserve that gift. Cool. But I do not deserve this. Psalm 139:13-16, and I have to find this one, hold on. For you were created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I was thinking about that. Fearfully and wonderfully are not half-assed and thrown together. Fearfully and wonderfully. There was a purpose behind those words. There is a purpose behind the way he made you. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to be. There's purpose behind that. And it didn't say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made until you make this mistake. Or you're fearfully and wonderfully made until you said that about somebody else. You were fearfully and wonderfully with purpose made for him. Let's see what the other one was. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. I have to find it first. I'm not afraid of silences. I had to learn that when I was doing my small group. Just gotta wait for the people to talk to you. Oh, Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So after reading over those verses, and this is something I was talking to Rachel about, I was struggling with this because when I see women who get down on themselves, ask my mom, I hate when she talks bad about herself. I hate when women talk bad about themselves. It drives me insane because I feel like I can see their worth even when they can't. And so I related it to, like, Ireland comes home with this beautiful picture that she colored. And she gives it to Rachel, and she's so proud of what she did, and her big smile. She's walking up, and Rachel goes, really? That tree? Doesn't even look like a tree. Why would you give this to me? Go back and try it again. But how is that different with God, who gave you the gifts that he gave you, who gave you the body that he gave you, who made you who you are, and you sit there, and you're down on yourself? You don't think you're worth anything? How absolutely disrespectful, for one, but how demeaning. I mean, okay, this is the thing. People are going to start judging me a little bit. I never understood that part. And I know it's a struggle. I really understand that sometimes I do get down on myself, but to think of it from that perspective of he had purpose in the way that he made me, and I cannot sit here and say anything bad about, like, you will say things bad about yourself, but I'm saying to attempt to not. Because God had purpose and intent in making you. Thank you, Osada. Okay. another quote from the Got Questions is, someone who is worried that he doesn't love himself enough has the wrong focus. His main concern should be to love God and then others. There is no room for self. So I'm going to go through this and I'm going to say it because Brooke gave me encouragement this morning. People are not going to like what I have to say right now. It's selfish. It is 100% selfish. Are you, okay, so I'm going to go through a couple different situations, and you have to see them through God's perspective that, Ashley, I struggle with that. How dare you attack me? I'm not attacking you. I'm just telling you that your problem is selfish. Does that sound okay? No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Okay. So maybe you're run down, thinking God doesn't care about you anymore. You've been serving him your whole life, and he's like, I'm done with you. I'm over this. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but whatever I am now, it is because God poured out his special favor on me and not without results. Are you maybe doubting? Like, I don't even know if this is legit. I don't know. He doesn't speak to me, things like that. Or whatever it is, doubting anything. Psalm 62:5-6 says, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Maybe you're like an anxious person, like me, like had to ask for prayer for like 5 people before I came up here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Maybe you're afraid. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up in my victorious right hand. Not even just my right hand, my victorious right hand. He's already won that. Right. Are you stressed? Maybe you just have that kind of thing, something's coming up, you're just worried about it. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Philippians 4:6-7, and this has been my, like, verse, highlighted in every Bible I have. I've had it since youth. It's just, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Do you think you don't have purpose? Do you think maybe you're just here on this earth to walk and come to women's retreats once a year? 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's only one verse, and maybe you think that there's more to that, but that just says this is God's will for you. That's a purpose in itself. Be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful. That's what it says. Okay, I don't know what's... I'm going to keep going. I'm just waiting for the amens and the hallelujahs. maybe you're embarrassed. You regret something you did in your past, and you don't think you can come out from it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all... Thank you! from all wickedness, not these wickedness, from all. This is where we're going to get real. Do you have an eating disorder? Maybe you're addicted to something, food, I guess. struggle with alcohol, struggle with drugs, porn. And don't say, oh, that's just a guy's thing. The number one target for porn is girls ages 9 to 13. If that, whatever, depression, anything like that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, don't you realize your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor your body. Philippians 4, and then you're like, okay, Ashley, great verse, but I can't come out of this. This is my life. I've dealt with this my whole life. You're not going to tell me any different. Philippians 4:13 says, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yes. You can do it. I've seen it.
Amen.
Thank you. So back to what I was saying before, and it's hard to hear, but those things that we struggle with are 100% selfish. Because where's the focus? I'm thinking about myself. I'm sad. I can't do this. I'm addicted to this, or I need this. And all of those things that we look to fulfill that sadness, you can just look to God instead. And I know it's easier said than done, and I totally understand that, and it's not going to happen overnight. But those things that we're filling our life with, they're fleeting.
Right.
And God's eternal.
Yes.
We're filling ourselves with things that we can. And here's the other thing. Some people might be thinking, I don't want God to fulfill that. I'm okay fulfilling myself. I am all right sitting here in my little bubble, filling myself with these earthly things. No thank you. And that's a God thing. It may not happen tonight. It may not happen tomorrow. That's something that is between you and God. You are focused on you and your problems and what you think you need to fulfill and help those problems. When the one who can help you is the one who created you and the one that loves you unconditionally. It really boils down to less of me and more of him. Cliche, if you grew up in the church, that's so cliche. Less of me, more of him. But it's so true. And if I can take that focus off of me for like 2 seconds, I can focus fully on what he has for me. And then I'm more effective in what he wants to do in my life. Another Larry Marsh quote. The artist is the one and he gave his best. The least we can do is give ours. So now what? I've given you this. I've kind of been a little bit mean. I apologize for that. But now what? I hope that you guys can leave this retreat and know that I am what the Bible says that I am. And yeah, maybe I struggle with this. Maybe I think highly of myself more than I ought to. Or maybe I am dabbling in these things or whatever it is. But my hope is that you guys can walk away and know that you are a woman of worth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you. And here's the last part. This is the other part that kind of ties in before. You have to know these things about yourself. Donzi, Kim, Angie, Kina, we can stand up here and yell at you all you want and tell you how valuable and how wonderful you are, But if you do not believe it, it's way less effective. And I'm not saying you're going to leave here and every morning. I was telling Lisa on Monday, both of us are going to be like so excited about work. We're going to have like all these good attitudes because we're coming off the retreat high and we're like thinking so good about ourselves. But we can tell you all we want, but you have to look in and go, God, I'm relying on you so that I can know the worth that you see in me. It's funny that I was preparing for this message and I was talking to Brooke about it and I did not feel like I was worthy to give this message. I'm young. I lived a really blessed life. Pastor's kid. Like, are you sure that I'm the right vessel that you want to give this? And then preparing for it, we say every year retreat, like the messages just seem to come together. And I'm like, but why? What if it doesn't? I'm the closer. What if my message does not make sense? It's going to ruin retreat. And that was totally why I was studying. That was what the devil was telling me. He's like, dude, if you don't wrap this up perfectly, that's what everyone is going to remember. And they're going to be like, dude, Ashley just wrecked the end of retreat. But now that it's like come to fruition and I'm almost done and I feel a lot better about being up here, to know that our message is all interlinked and none of us knew what each other was going to speak on. None of us knew what verses we were going to use. It just, that's God. That's God just going, watch what I'm going to do at retreat this year. Like I said, there's years of words, there's years of experiences, there's years of crap behind us. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to wake up in the morning and just feel that worth and that pride in who God says you are. But, I know, bummer. But, like Donzie said, become aware of those thoughts. Become aware of those things that are starting to creep up and know how to take them captive. Romans 5, 8 through 9 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. That's for everybody. And it's so funny because like growing up in the church, you hear all these verses and stuff like that. But coming back and it's just a different time in your life and you can reread a verse you've read 100 times and it speaks so differently to you. One of the worship songs we're going to play, I was actually driving in my car and I was like singing. I'm like, I really like this song. Then I was preparing for my message, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to do this song. It's brand new. It's Made New by Lincoln Brewster, but it talks about how God holds our head up, and I'm alive in you again. I'm made new. I'm trying to think of the words, but now I'm stressing because everyone's looking at me. You remind me who I am, and the words to this song, I just want everyone, and you may not know it. You may know it from the radio. I just want everyone to focus on, this is me. This, God, you have said this about me. It's backed up in scripture. I need to know that this is what you have for me. So with that, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. So I just pray for all of us who are leaving to take that new look at yourself. It might be hard. Sometimes self is a little scary, but my hope for you is to take that new approach and to ask yourself, now what? Retreat's over. I have to go into the real world. I don't want to. We could just live here forever. But now what are you going to do with what God has challenged you with? Now what are you going to choose to do when you view yourself, when you wake up in the morning and see yourself or talk down about yourself, things like that? What are you going to do now that retreat's over and you have to take these into the real world? So I want to sing this song. If you guys wouldn't mind standing, it makes me feel better because I want to stand. So, and we'll just worship and see what God wants for us. Okay. Dearly Father, thank you for this day that we got to be together, God. And I pray that those words would ring in our ears. God, you hold my head up. You remind me who I am. I pray, Lord, that as we leave and we go and discuss in small groups, that women will have a new revelation of who they are in you, God. I pray that they can have that understanding and that worth and that confidence that you can only give to us, God. I pray you would be with us in these small groups, Lord, as we start to wind down retreat, and that hearts would be open and walls would be broke down, and that before they leave, they have no regrets of keeping anything back, God, and that they have no regrets of not asking for prayer for something or not opening up the way they wanted to, God. I pray that you would dismiss us with your grace and your love as we go and learn more and get more in depth about you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.